paragraph yud. V'alkein kishanim oil ho'evet shel kohen mutar lechol betrumo b'chaza b'shoik mashi Yisrael bi'atzmoi osur boi. And this is why we find that the halacha is that when an eved knani of a kohen, a non-Jewish servant of a kohen, gets his bris milah, he is allowed to eat truma that the kohen can eat, the truma or the other gifts that the Jewish people give to the kohanim when they slaughter a korban, the chaza and the shoik, the chest of the animal, and the shoik, the thigh, which a regular Yisrael, is not allowed to eat truma. Ki Hashem Yisborach, kidei shonu b'mitzvoisav, kidei shenuchal lahakir oisoyai, dei zrichas horishimu anal. Because as we mentioned earlier, Hashem has given us the Torah, and He has sanctified us with His mitzvahs in order that we should be able to realize Hashem through that light that comes from the rishimu of the beetle. It's for this reason that a Jew is obligated to sanctify his eating, his food. A Jew is not allowed to eat forbidden things. These are all examples of things where the snake, the impurity of the snake, is very, very much attached to them. These non-kosher things and nevela and trefa, shayidei achilosam nifgam haguf, whereby if a person eats those things, it makes that person's body defective. Ve'eino yochel kabel or azricha kanal, and that person cannot receive the light, you know, that comes from the rishimu or the beetle. U'kishem shedvorim tmeim asura machmazeh. Now, just as unkosher items are forbidden because of the fact that this zuamas hanochosh is attached to them, k'moy kein lehefech osar aleinu gam kama dvorim kedoshim shasurim leochel machmas riboy kedushasam. So too, Hashem has declared forbidden and out of bounds for us certain things that are out of our reach because they're too holy for us. They're too holy for me. K'goin truma kodshim lezor, for example, truma or kachim for a non-kohen are forbidden. They're forbidden. Kidei shelo yikabel hachiyas hanimshach ha'idei achila bebechinas riboyor shegorim shviras hakelim chazashom. Because if an ordinary Jew, a non-kohen, eats truma, what happens is his body is only able to handle 100 watts. Truma is 1,000 watts. When he eats the 1,000 watts, it's riboyor, it's too much light, which causes a breakage of vessels, so that the person does not have the vessel that they need to be able to receive that rishimu from the beetle. Ki ikar hamshochas oyer hanal hu al yidei tikun hakelim v'kanal. Because as we explained earlier, in order for a person to be able to receive that light and retain it, it's dependent on what kind of vessels the person has, in what good working order the person's vessels are. Alkein osur hazor lechol truma v'kotshim machmas riboyor. That's why a non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. He's not allowed to eat certain kotshim because it's too much light for him. His vessels are not set up to handle so large a light. Ki ein koyach l'mishenoi kohen l'hamshech l'kasha or anhimshech adi achilas truma v'kotshim. Because a non-kohen does not have the ability to draw and attach that light that comes from eating truma and kachim into himself. Ki hu etzloi bebechinas riboyor. Because for him, it's out of his limits. It's beyond his capability. Aval ho eved, whereas this non-Jewish servant, shehu kinyin kaspoi shel koyen, who is someone who the koyen acquired for money, yochoy lechol truma v'kotshim k'moy raboy ha-koyen. He is allowed to eat the truma and kotshim just like his master is allowed. Ki hu nichlal boy, because the eved is part of the master, me'achar shehu kasboy shel koyen, because he is the money of the koyen, sheshom ikar gemar tikun ha-kelim. And we know that that's the place where the main tikkun of kelim takes place when it comes to dealing with money. Ki ikar tikkun hakelim nas nal yedei shemekatshin hamomoin meachizas zua masanocho shanechas balametes melochis. Because the main tikkun of the vessels is accomplished by the person sanctifying his money from the tumma of the snake, which is attached to the 39 acts of work. Ki hakohanim avoidosim beveis hamikdash uvamishkan. Because the kohanim, the main place where they did their work was in the Beis Hamikdash or in the Mishkan. Sheshom ikar tikun kol halametes melochos. In the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash is where you had these 39 acts of work being performed properly with holiness. K'moy shekosu b'mokom achar, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses in other places, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses in other places. V'alkein heim mechaprim kol ho'avoinois. And this is why the activities in the Beis Hamikdash are what atone and forgive for all the different sins which are a result of the filth of the snake. And the main way that people are able to achieve this forgiveness for all their sins in the Beis Hamikdash is with money. Shemi shechota, a person who committed a sin, tzorech lohavi mimamoinoi vekaspoi korban kefiachet. He has to go out and buy a cow, a lamb, a handful of flour, whatever it is, according to whatever sin he did. Vaydezeh hakoyen mechaper olav, and it's by using money properly, by using the money to buy this korban, that enables the kohen to achieve a forgiveness for that person. Machmashe bebeis hamikdash shom ikur habitul. Because the Beis Hamikdash is the choicest place on earth where a Jew has the ability to achieve this bitul, to detach themselves from the physical, materialistic, and to connect themselves to Hashem, to spiritual. Veshom meir heitev oir ha-shimonal. And it's in the Beis Hamikdash that when the person comes down from that bitul, the reshimu shines brightest and best, and the person has the best possible chance and opportunity to receive that reshimu and to hold on to it, you know. Ki kabolas zrichas oir harishimu anal hu kefi kedushas ha'odom v'hamokoim v'hazman. This is a very, very important rule in Kabbalah and Chassidus in Yiddishkeit, that receiving anything important from Hashem is dependent on who and when and where. The who, no two people are alike. Every single person is on a different level. The higher level of person, the closer they are to Hashem, the better a chance they have of receiving. In the Beis Hamikdash, this is why we involve the Kohanim. The Kohen did it. Why? Because the Kohanim are an elite unit. They're not involved in the things, in a lot of the nonsense that the rest of the people are involved in. They're holier, pure. In terms of the place also, every place is different. We know that the Jews all over the world, the Torah says when they're praying, they have to focus, they have to have their eyes towards Eretz Yisrael. They want to connect with that place because Eretz Yisrael is the place which is most suitable for this bitul and this reshimu, for this deep connection to Hashem, for jumping up way up high, connecting and being able to retain what you receive there. And then there's the timing, the zman. No two times are alike. The Ben Ish Chai writes that if a person learns Torah on Shabbos for an hour, it's like 1,000 hours of weekday learning. That's how precious are those hours of Shabbos to be able to use it the right way for Torah, for Tefillah, for Mitzvah, Semaisim Toivim. Alkein, therefore, Ho'eved, this non-Jewish servant, this Eved Knani, Shehu Kinyan Kaspoi Shel Kohen, who is something that the Kohen acquired with his money, Yochoy Lechol B'Truma V'Kotshim. He is allowed to eat Truma and Kotshim, Ki ikar shleimus hakohen sheyisaken hamomoin meizua masanochosh, because the main perfection of the kohen is that not only does he purify himself, not only does he keep himself pure, but also he purifies his money from having any impurities of the snake on it. To the point where all the possessions in the world, which are all boiled, which all boil down to money, should have the ability to receive that light that comes from this reshima when a person is coming down from the high. That's the real tikkun. When not only has the person purified himself, but he's also purified his money, his eved, that came through the bris mila, through the tevila, etc. That enables the kohen and his money, both of them are able to eat truma, and etc. Paragraph Yud Aleph. V'zehu v'yohavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol ma'idecha shenismach achar posuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rav Nosson Sal now is going to explain two of the most important sentences in our religion, in the Torah and in our prayers. The Shema and the v'yohavta. Rav Nosson Sal says, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Sheze Iker Bechinas Habitul. That's the ultimate example of a Jew going into Bitul. Levatel Atzmoy, to nullify himself. Velichloil Ba'achdusoy, and to plug into the oneness of Hashem. Bemesiras Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem, by being prepared to allow myself to be killed to sanctify Hashem's name. Kimosham Rabbi Seinusal, as the Gemara tells us, that's what a Jew is supposed to be thinking when they're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem, you are one. There's nothing competing with you. There's nothing more important. There's nothing equal. And if anything tries to get in the way of my commitment to you, I'm prepared. There's nothing in the world I'm not prepared to give up to show my loyalty to you, including my life. That's what we're thinking when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Dalet of Echad refers to the four different types of death: Skila, Sreifa, Herik, Chenik. That I'm prepared to accept everything to sanctify Hashem's name. And remember Rabbi Akiva, when they were combing his flesh with those metal combs, his soul left him at the word Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's when his soul left him. Because that's when he achieved the highest level Bitul Dveikus Hashem. He took off with a one-way ticket. He threw away the return ticket. V'achar kach. And right after we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, where we go up to that place of oneness, Oimrim V'yohavta Es Hashem Elokecha, B'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol moidecha. We declare that we love Hashem with our entire heart, our soul, and all of our money, moidecha. Shehu hamamoin, lekasher oyer horishimu beliboy v'nafshoy u'moidoy, shu mamoinoy. This shows that we're trying to bind, to attach the light of the reshimu, that light that we're bringing back with us from that beetle. We're trying to attach it to levav, to the lev, to the nefesh, and to all my money, all my possessions. I want to bring back that oyer harishimu and bring it into my heart, soul, and all of my possessions. Shekolul kol chemda so'ilam azeh. That word ma'oidoi or ma'moinoi is koilel all the everything that can be acquired in this physical world, all the physical desires. I'm declaring that I'm prepared to nullify everything, to negate everything, to express my love for Hashem. Ki ikar hiskashrus oyer horishimu, hu kishemetahir o mekadesh games mamoinoi mechezo de almain. Because the true success at being able to bind that light of the reshima to oneself is only if a person has also purified and sanctified all of their possessions, all of their money, from the tumah of this world. Sheshom ikar achiza zua masanochosh kanal. Because that's what the nochosh attaches itself to most and best, the money, the financial possessions. Vishom ikar tikun hakelim. And that's where a person has the opportunity to succeed most in making the kelim that they need to be able to receive and retain this oil hershimu. Where? In the money, in the financial possessions. Ki ikar hisavus bechinas hakelim hu bebechinas smoil. Gvurois tzimtzumim kiyadua. Now Rav Nosson Zalman is basically quoting from the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, who say that the whole concept of forming vessels comes from the left side. Gvura, harshness, tzimtzum, constriction. The right side is chesed. The right side is poiseach es yodecho umasbia. Open up the floodgates. Open up. That's the right side. That's chesed. The left side is control, tzimtzum, vessel, limited boundaries. So the whole concept of tikkun hakelim is related to left side, shezeo bechinas hamomein, which is synonymous with money. As the pasuk says, bismoila oishev echavoid. On the left side, we have wealth and honor. Vezeo bechinas kedusha shabbos shehu hatachlis bechinas olam haba. Based on all of this, we'll be able to understand the holiness of Shabbos, which is the ultimate. Shabbos is the tachlis. Shabbos is referred to as Olam Haba. She'oz mizbatlin kol alam tesmelochas. That's when we shut down all the 39 acts of work. We refrain from all 39 acts of work. Ve'oz ikar shleimus hadas. And it's on Shabbos that a person has the best opportunity possible to be zeichet, to realize Hashem, to feel Hashem's presence through the via that light of the Rishimu. Because on Shabbos is when we refrain from all 39 acts of work, which are associated with money, 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 money. V'alkein mila doiche Shabbos. And this is also why the mitzvah of mila overrides Shabbos. Ki yefsher lekabel kedusha Shabbos shehu atachlis kiim al yidei shemavir en horlo kanal. Because it's impossible for a person to receive the holiness of Shabbos, which is the tachlis, which is that light of the Rishimu, unless they first remove that arla. It's only after you've removed the arla that you're ready to start being able to receive that great light.